Welcome to the LDN Radio Show, brought to you by the LDN Research Trust. I'm your host, Linda Elsiegood. I have an exciting lineup of guest speakers who are LDN experts in their field. We will be discussing low-dose naltrexone and its many uses in autoimmune diseases, cancers, etc. Thank you for joining us. Wingfoot Wellness and Hormones is located in Mesa, Arizona. They're passionate about restoring health and treating the root cause. Visit their website, www.wingfootwellnessandhormones.net. That's www.wingfootwellnessandhormones.net. You can contact them by email, info@wingfootwellness.net, or call 480-590-6691. Today my guest is Michelle Resendez, who is a certified family nurse practitioner. She combines her love for alternative and natural medicine alongside of traditional medicine. She's passionate about patient education and believes that all patients should be in control of their own healthcare decisions. She has successfully treated patients with a diverse range of health conditions that have not responded well to conventional medical treatments. Thank you for joining us today, Michelle.
Thanks for having me.
So could you tell us, when did you first hear about LDN? How long ago was that?
I first learned about LDN about 10 to 12 years ago. First learned about it from a naturopathic medical doctor here, and had no knowledge about it at all except for its use in the high dose for opioid addiction. And so at that point, I was really intrigued by what he had shared with me, and I started researching it from that point onward.
Mm-hmm. So can you remember your first patient that you prescribed LDN for?
I don't know if I can remember the first, but I had my first, I would say, handful of patients were mostly thyroid conditions, Hashimoto's, Graves, thyroiditis. And so I was really using it to try to modulate and assist the thyroid in functioning better. Mm-hmm. And from that point, it really expanded and opened the horizons to treating other things.
Okay.
Some of my early on patients were also started treating GI as well.
Okay. So we found that people with thyroid conditions, if they're taking thyroid medication, usually have to reduce the amount of thyroid medication. Has that been your experience?
Yes, that's absolutely correct. So when I start someone on low-dose naltrexone, and I start very conservatively at usually around 0.5 to 1 milligram at night, and I will either reduce their thyroid medication in half, or I will just reduce, if they're on a T3 medication, I'll reduce that down by usually about half just to see how they tolerate that. They'll get better conversion usually, and a lot of times their autoantibodies will start going down, and that will help the thyroid function better. So if you don't tailor the thyroid medication, sometimes you'll get some adverse side effects, like, you know, tremors or palpitations, or just feel a little bit more excitable than they're used to feeling. So we try to tiptoe into that slowly.
Yeah. And how long would you say it takes a patient to notice that LDN is doing something for them, or that their markers start to improve?
A lot of patients start noticing the effects almost immediately, within a couple of days. Depends on what condition I'm treating. Pain, for example, is especially, you know, osteoarthritis type pain or structural type pain. That usually does, people usually notice the effects within a week of taking that. Because they start on such a low dose, they may not feel it the first few days when I start them on the 0.5 milligram, but once they move up to 1 or 2 milligrams, they start feeling some relief in any kind of pain conditions that they have. Mm-hmm. Antibodies are a little bit more resistant. It might take, 2 to 3 months to see antibodies go down with LDN. And that's because the treatment approach for that is really multifactorial, and the LDN is just an adjunct to that. And usually we do lifestyle modifications and diet and other interventions to help those antibodies come down as well. So that can be a little bit more time consuming.
Mm-hmm. And have any of your patients in that period of time that you've been prescribing LDN reported any negative side effects?
Yes, anyone starting LDN can experience negative side effects. Probably the most common would be that when they get a rebound effect at night with those endorphins kicking up, they can get some anxiety, they can get insomnia, they can have very vivid dreams that disturbing their sleep. Patients that we treat for viral conditions or reactivation syndromes like ME, chronic fatigue syndrome, they can actually get more severe adverse side effects such as, sweating, fevers, flu-like feeling, sore throat, things like that. All of that is expected and typical. I don't like to stop treatment if they're experiencing those side effects, because that's telling me that it's working. We're getting the endorphin release that we're looking for, and we're getting the immune system enhancements that we're looking for. I might taper back on the dose and just tiptoe up much more slowly, but those side effects are what I would consider good responses.
Mm-hmm.
Haven't had anyone have any, side effects that I would consider to be adverse, like, hives, rashes, vomiting, anything so severe that I'd have to stop them on it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, I know you said you treated GI conditions as well. Do you do like SIBO and gastroparesis, as well as Crohn's and ulcerative colitis? Celiac disease?
Yep, all of the above.
Yeah. and what has the feedback been for patients with gut issues?
I've had probably the most success with gut issues. I don't know if it's the most, but it's one of my top responders. Some of my earlier patients were Crohn's patients. I had one lady who was in her early 40s and was probably about 80 pounds. Crohn's, was getting infusions. She was on a biologic, getting infusions every 3 months for also iron deficiency anemia. And so she responded very well. And at this point, 2.5 to 3 years later, she's no longer on any kind of iron supplementation, not even oral. Her GI conditions are 100% in control. And she had a recent colonoscopy that was completely clean. Doesn't even look like she had Crohn's, any traces of it at all. So it modulates the bowel just unbelievably well. And with that, there usually is some type of SIBO treatment, because that is a comorbidity, typically with GI, not always, but typically. So with SIBO, I'm going to treat somebody for irritable bowel and it's SIBO related, or I suspect that. Sometimes I'll actually do the SIBO treatment first, which could be anywhere from a 2-week course to 6 weeks. And then I'll follow that with LDN. If somebody's already on LDN and tolerating it, then I'll just go ahead and add SIBO treatment to their regimen of what they're currently doing. Mm-hmm. But the GI is just unbelievable. Treat people with just, IBS with constipation, responds very well with that. Diarrhea, ulcerative colitis, celiac, all of it. It's just absolutely incredible.
And when you think how these people suffer, it's not very nice talking about it, but, having bleeding from the bowels and all the other issues that go with bowel problems. I mean, it's not just your bowels playing up when you have these conditions. It can have other symptoms that go with it, which seem to work. LDN seems to work pretty well for, the exhaustion, the fatigue and the pain, obviously. And it's something that is so simple a treatment. I mean, it's not harmful. It's not like the immune modulating drugs, is it?
No.
it's not toxic. That's what I was going to try and say. So it's not harmful to you, is it? So, you know, it's really worth trying. What do you think makes some doctors really hesitant about prescribing LDN?
I think here in the US, because everything is very driven and guided by big pharmaceutical companies, naltrexone, although it's approved, FDA approved for use, and it's been around for years, really, treating detox, once it's given and prescribed at the very low dose, which in our case would be microdosing, it hasn't been, you know, studied, or I don't even want to say studied because it's been studied thoroughly. There's so many evidence-based research studies and meta-analysis out there to guide. But as far as getting approval for a big pharma to take it on, that's probably never going to happen because the patent on naltrexone has expired and it's not incentivizing. So there's no incentive for these pharmaceutical companies to take it on and approve it at its low dose, unless they're making it, you know, combining it with other drugs to, you know, make, you know, a weight loss drug like they've done with Contrave or something else. But otherwise, I think that's the hesitation, is that they just follow the guidelines and big pharmaceutical companies and don't venture out to seek alternative care. And that's why we choose to do more functional type of medicine, because treating the root is really what's important. And low-dose naltrexone, what I tell my patients is, you know, it's really a drug that makes the body work for itself. So I don't even like calling it a drug. I know it is a drug, but such a microdose that it allows the body to have that rebound effect to allow things to work properly, you know, inside the body. So you get the endorphins, immune system booster, mental health, all of it. And it's not something somebody has to stay on forever. They could, because it is such a benign drug and it has a lot of protection against cancer as well. So if somebody did want to stay on it just for that reason, I'd be all for it, and I'd be encouraging that, because it is such a benign drug and the benefits are just multifactorial. So I would say anyone could really give it a try.
It's a shame that there aren't more prescribers like yourself out there who are willing to give it a go and prescribe it. I mean, even if patients have to pay for it themselves, it's not an expensive drug, is it? You know, I'm sure if you were a smoker, it would probably cost you more a month than the cost of the LDN. It just doesn't seem right that there is something out there that can help these people and it's not being used because basically it's too cheap. That just seems completely the wrong way round, doesn't it? You know, if we have a cheap drug,
it should be used in everything.
Exactly. If we have a cheap drug that can help all these different things, why not try that first before you start giving, you know, drugs that are quite toxic?
Absolutely. You know? And it has no harm associated too, you know. There's no side effects. It's really going to be lasting. And the ones that I discussed are expected, and they actually are something that we actually want. You know, the Jerry-Turkheimer reaction, which is that rebound effect that you're looking for, albeit uncomfortable a little bit first couple of days for people with viral activations, it really does predict a great response. So there's really nothing I can say that would be negative about using it. So yeah, I wish it was just first line in rheumatology, GI, pain, cancer, psych. I mean, really, it could be used first line in any kind of healthcare setting.
And I like in the introduction I read out there that you encourage patients to take control of their own healthcare decisions. There are still patients out there who think if their doctor says something that it's 100% accurate and right and they should take notice of their doctor. And I'm not saying you shouldn't, but sometimes doctors don't know absolutely everything. And if you felt that the advice you were given didn't feel right for you, I mean, there is no reason why you shouldn't then go and talk to another doctor, is there?
Absolutely. Yeah, I like to give my patients literature and I give them websites to go to, and I encourage them to read as much as they can and I like to send them research articles that are fairly easy to understand. And I like them to be really in control of that decision and know why they're taking something, because they're going to be more compliant if they know, you know, I'm taking this certain, you know, supplement or medication for these conditions. And when they're knowledgeable and they have, you know, the research behind it, they're more likely to stay compliant, be more positive and have better outcomes because of that as well.
Mm. I mean, I have learned over the years that people with chronic illnesses are just hungry for information. They want to become experts in whatever condition they've got. You know, yeah. They want to read absolutely everything. And I think it's really good if you've got a doctor that you can work alongside who is encouraging you and helping you with that process, and somebody you could discuss things with if you've read something that you don't understand. Now, being a family nurse practitioner, does that mean that you treat patients from the cradle to the grave, or do you focus on a certain age group?
I treat as young as, I mean, really, I've seen babies in my office, but that's more for, I have a background in postpartum care and newborn care and newborn education. So I'll occasionally have an infant, but it's usually for breastfeeding assistance or some postpartum care. The bigger health conditions, allergies, autoimmunity, pain conditions, all that, I'll see children as young as 4. That's more unusual. It's probably typically more teenager up until, I would say, the grave. Define it as that. But yeah, I've got some elderly patients, and probably the majority are between the age of 35 and 65 is probably the majority, but I do see on both ends of the spectrum as well.
Teenagers, I mean, what would you say are the highest rate of conditions that you treat teenagers for?
Teenagers, it could be anything from attention deficit disorder, depression, pain conditions, allergies, sleep issues. Those would be kind of, I would say, the majority. There's some of my kids that I treat are on the autism spectrum, so I do treat that as well. And that would be looking at a lot of other health ailments and genetics and vitamin levels and things like that. We really get into that. Mm-hmm. That's been very impactful. But I do have quite a few teens and young children on LDN as well. And I'll actually have them, my pharmacist compound a liquid form if they're too young to swallow a pill or won't tolerate a gummy or a sublingual lozenge. Mm-hmm. I'll do a liquid form, which works out really well for them.
Do you think teenagers find life rather stressful? You mentioned depression there. Are we pushing our children too hard, maybe?
Yeah, I actually coach also at a high school. I coach cross country and track. So I work side by side with a lot of teenagers, and that sport draws a lot of academic kids who are very driven and very motivated, type A. Most of them come from very good families, but I think now a lot of it is stemming from nutrition, you know, and the deficiencies in the foods and how that really cascades in the body and can cause other dysfunctions. And so I like to start there and see if there's something really physiologic that we can correct, and then work on counseling and trying to figure out if there's lifestyle changes we can work through to improve their symptoms. But, you know, everyone's different. There's some that I would say have environmental triggers or lifestyle, or they're pressed too hard or pushed, or you know, there might be a divorce situation or something like that. But the majority of it, I think, is really environmental and nutritional. And so I try to correct those things before moving on.
What about children now spending so many hours a day in front of a computer screen?
Yeah, that's really probably the most impactful, I would say, negative consequence or side effect I see. The kids I treat that are athletes, they don't have those issues because they're out running and They're usually doing about 30 miles a week. So they're definitely exceptions. I think more of the rule is the kids that are sitting in front of a screen too often and they're not engaging with their peers. It's all online or social media, and that does impact them. So I do encourage exercise, and for all the kids that I see, I encourage some type of aerobic activity. Mm-hmm. And if they comply with that, then I'll usually get even better outcomes. So majority do really well. Once I develop a rapport, they'll, you know, listen to my advice, and I hope that they apply it.
Mm-hmm. And finding out the root cause and trying to get the body responding as it should do with LDN supplements, diets, etc., is so much better than just treating the symptoms and taking a cocktail of medication and then taking another medication to combat the side effects from the cocktail that you're taking, where you're still not addressing the root cause. You know, it's quite amazing. The different way of approach, isn't it? I think the LDN Research Trust now has been going 15 and a half years, but we are getting more functional medicine doctors looking at the way in which they're treating. So what I'm trying to say is there are lots of traditionally trained doctors that are now also looking at a different approach as well as, which is amazing, after they've already done all their training to then look at functional medicine as well. You have to respect their decision for doing that, where they think, you know, I'm not achieving the results I would like to. Let's look at something else.
So. Yes, which is great. And I do have traditional medical doctors referring to me, neurology and cardiology, rheumatology, dermatology, because there's a lot of dermatologic conditions that can be treated very successfully with both topical LDN called Xenotop, and then oral LDN. So we use those as well. But I have been getting some referrals from people that I've never met, but see the positive impact that LDN has made on their other patients. So they'll refer them over to me for me to prescribe it, which is just as good, in my opinion, as them prescribing it. Yes. So they're getting them over to the right place. So I really appreciate that too.
So what skin conditions are you treating it for?
It could be vitiligo, psoriasis, rosacea, eczema. Those are probably the top of all the skin conditions that respond really well to it. Finding if there's food triggers and things too.
Mm-hmm. Have you had anybody with like Behçet syndrome, Haley's, that kind of thing, and alopecia?
Alopecia is a big one too. And that can be treated with the Xenotop and usually a topical steroid as well. But that responds very well to it, just like psoriasis and vitiligo.
Mm-hmm.
So it does really good.
I've found, talking to patients, that it would seem to me as though those responders for skin conditions take slightly longer. Would you say that's the experience you've seen in your practice?
Yeah, I would say skin would be probably more towards the 3-month mark, similar to the thyroid autoantibodies. And that's due to there's just being other factors involved. There's trying to find if there's some food triggers associated with that. Usually there are some. And what are they using topically now? Their products they're using, skincare. There could be SIBO involved with that. So kind of depends on other conditions. A lot of it is when they're having flares, it's because it's triggered by something, and I want to find out what that trigger is. Mm-hmm. And then the LDN just helps the body heal itself, so it's keeps them in a remission state. Melasma is actually a really good one, too. I just thought of a few patients I have with melasma that responded very well to oral LDN. This one lady hasn't even done any topical, so she's in very good control, just the oral.
Wow. So when a patient...
And usually when I'm prescribing it...
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry. If I'm prescribing it for skin, it's just kind of a side note, but just reminding me of my patient with melasma. She also started noticing, oh, and my neck and back are never tight and they don't ache anymore. And, you know, things that she really didn't address because that wasn't her primary concern, but she started realizing that other things have also improved, that she wasn't really a highlight, but were just benefits of it as well, which is always fun to discover.
Yes. So when a patient comes to see you, let's say they've got gut issues, where do you start? How do you go about finding that root cause?
Typically, I'll do labs first. We have a outside lab that does a really comprehensive panel, looks at allergies and a number of things, hormones, thyroid, inflammatory markers, genetics, things like that. I try to find triggers if I can identify any and remove those before even starting on LDN. So I like to see how they respond first to that. Not that LDN is, you know, I'm going to start it, probably 2-3 months down, and that's usually in the plan. But I like to do things in stages so we can really see how impactful each thing is at each stage. So I'll take away the food triggers first if I can identify them, and then add LDN onto that at some point.
Mm-hmm. Do you take insurance, or are the tests people have to pay out of pocket?
We don't accept insurance for our office visits at this point, but for all other imaging and labs and medications, we try to utilize insurance as much as we can. And so this big lab test actually does bill insurance, and most of them do cover it fairly well.
Mm-hmm.
And so with some have no out-of-pocket at all, I would say the majority, which is a huge benefit for us. And then... I'll use as many medications as I can be covered by insurance. In our compounding pharmacies, they'll take insurance, but if it's a compounded drug that's more specialized, and insurance doesn't cover those type of things like LDN and things that are compounded creams and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
But we do work with some great pharmacists that will compete with prices and really try to get it the most affordable that they can for us, so which we appreciate.
Mm. So do you have a waiting list of patients? So, you know, is there a time frame they have to wait before they can see you?
Right now, we've just moved into our new office. So my business partner and I have been here 3 months, and I'm at a 2-month wait right now. Once we hire some more back office staff, I'll be able to stack more appointments, and that will trim down for maybe a month or two, and then I'll probably get booked up again. But right now it's about a 2-month wait. I do keep appointments open early morning, and sometimes I'll see patients after my last appointment for the day if there's something urgent or, somebody's not responding favorably to a medication or something. I leave those time slots available for that.
Mm-hmm.
So I can get people in if I really need to.
And how often do patients generally have to come and see you?
I would say on average it's every 3 months, but that would be somebody who's stable, doing well on their regimen, not needing any further testing or imaging or interventions done. So some patients I will see on a monthly basis if they have a lot more chronic illnesses and conditions, because I like to do those steps, plan out, maybe SIBO treatment, diet, next go around we do... continue with that SIBO treatment, maybe on another course of SIBO treatment, also with hormones, thyroid, and continue to add things to optimize, how they're doing and their quality of life. So it just depends. I would say average is 3 months, but it's not atypical for me to schedule somebody monthly until they're, stable and doing well.
Mm-hmm. And then... do you just have a maintenance appointment after that, or is it 3 months forever, or do you get it so it's annually?
I have patients that I would say come in annually. They're probably not my patients on LDN. They're probably more, I would say, every 6 months. And that's more because they're doing hormonal treatments, pellets, injections, or, you know, they're doing other treatments other than just LDN. If it was just LDN they were on, then annual appointments would be completely fine, assuming their quality of life is, you know, where they want it, 100%. Mm-hmm. So that wouldn't be uncommon. But patients that are doing hormones and treating thyroid, they're probably going to get labs more frequently than annually, just to make sure their medications don't need to be changed or adjusted, make sure they're doing well. So, yeah, that isn't totally uncommon either.
Right. Well, we've come to the end of the show, and we have learnt so much from you, and it's been amazing talking to you, Michelle.
Thank you so much.
Okay. Well, thank you, and continue, you know, prescribing.
We will, for sure. And we'll continue researching.
And good luck with the new practice.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Wingfoot Wellness and Hormones is located in Mesa, Arizona. They're passionate about restoring health and treating the root cause. Visit their website, www.wingfootwellnessandhormones.net. That's www.wingfootwellnessandhormones.net. You can contact them by email, info@wingfootwellness.net, or call 480-590-6691. Any questions or comments you may have, please email me, Linda, L-I-N-D-A, at ldnrt.org. I look forward to hearing from you. Thank you for joining us today. We really appreciated your company. Until next time, stay safe and keep well.